This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So, if this is the definition of true success, then how do we become the most successful Muslims, inshallah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains to us how salah is known as the best of deeds. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, said that he inquired of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was the best deed in the sight of Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, to say prescribed prayers at stated hours. I asked, what was the next best? He said, to be good to parents. I again asked that what deed ranked next. He said, to do jihad in the way of Allah. Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, says that if he had gone asking, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have told him more. Bukhari and Muslim. Allah Almighty and Sublime says in the Hadith Qudsi, the first of his actions for which a servant of Allah will be accountable on the day of resurrection will be his prayers, his salah. If they're in order, then he'll have prospered and succeeded. And if they're not, then he'll have failed and lost. If there's something defective in his obligatory prayers, the Lord, glorified and exalted be He, will say, see if my servant has any supererogatory prayers with which may be completed that which has defective in his obligatory prayers. Then the rest of his actions will be judged in a like fashion. So now look at this, my sisters and brothers. For the sunnah prayers, inshallah, if you do the sunnah prayers and say your fard prayers were not as good, and say your fard prayers had some deficiency in it. Now, if you completed the sunnah prayers, inshallah, and they're better than the fard prayer, this is the time where, inshallah, ta'ala, it will count for you. So that is why it is really, really great to do the sunnah prayers as well and do the nafil prayers. However, if you cannot right now, just, and again, once again, get started with your fard. No matter what, do not let the fard prayer go, inshallah. So if this is the case, then how can we not pray our five salahs, my sisters and brothers, when we know that this is the most important element in becoming a successful Muslim? This should be the main focus of our life with everything else surrounding it. Many of you might be thinking, well, Zuhair, I work at a public place where I have no room to pray. And others are saying, well, I'm in class or at a busy time. Salah comes in a busy time of my work, and they will not allow me to take a break to pray. Subhanallah, my dear sisters and brothers, I remember when I was working at a restaurant, and I was working, I was in college, and it was the busiest time, it was dinner time. And subhanallah, you know, I was the only server that had, you know, that was there at the restaurant at that time, because sometimes between like 3 to 6, we only had one server, and then we'd add another one. And subhanAllah, sometimes it would be so busy, and I would be the one taking people to their seats. I'd have to get their drinks, I'd have to get order their food, and then get them their food. But when it was the month of Ramadan, subhanAllah, I would be the one out there praying. I would be the one out there praying. I did not care. I would stop everything, tell the cook, and if there was someone else there, I would let them know, and I'd say, it's my time. 5 minutes, I'd go into another room, I'd do my salah, and everyone would have to wait. And it's the same thing with, you know, when I was in college, you know, unfortunately, I was a part-time Muslim back then, but when it was Ramadan, I was a full-time Muslim. There was a time when my sister and I had a final, we were just starting finals, and I went to my teacher, I said, I'm going to start my final, inshallah, both of us are, and then we're going to take a break for about 15 minutes, and we're going to go pray, and you can have someone come watch us, because it's our time, and when prayer is done, we're going to come back, and we're going to continue our final. And if you want someone to watch us to make sure we're not cheating or doing anything, you're more than welcome to do that. And subhanAllah, our teacher really trusted us because we both went and we took our prayer mat out and we actually prayed. And this was during a final in college. It was Maghrib time. So my point to you is, it's just an excuse we give ourselves. It really is. If we really want to do it, we could do it. And I wish that I had done all five of my prayers 365 days of the year the same way. But at that time, I was a part-time Muslim and I didn't. So, but my point to you is, I did it when I wanted to do it. Nothing stopped me. You know, one time my daughter and I were in Costco and we were shopping, and it was Asr prayer, and we left our shopping cart, went in by one of the aisles that was very, you know, quiet, and we prayed right there in Costco. So if you really want to do it, my dear sisters and brothers, there's nothing to stop you. There's nothing to stop you. Now, some of the sisters, they're probably embarrassed because they don't wear hijab. And so when they pray, they know they have to wear hijab. And this might be a little too embarrassing for them. So usually this is what stops them. Again, sisters, this is a bunch of excuses. I'm telling you, you know, I knew a sister who did not wear hijab. But she, mashallah, started getting into her salahs and she started getting closer to Allah. And she was at the airport, and her story is quite funny, but she was at the airport and she was sitting down with all these people waiting for her flight. Well, everyone saw her go on the plane without a hijab, normal. And on the plane, once she gets on, it was, you know, Maghrib time, so she had to break her fast. She was fasting as well. As she breaks her fast, you know, she's done breaking her fast, she puts on her hijab and starts to pray. Everyone starts to stare at her on the plane like, what the heck? And it's not just a normal hijab, it's one of those big hijabs where it covers your arms and everything. And so the people sitting next to her and around her were like, what's going on? And she did not even care. She did her prayer, mashallah. When her prayer was done, she took off her hijab, put it back in her bag, and subhanAllah, went to eating and continued like nothing happened. So don't be embarrassed, my sisters and brothers. And don't be embarrassed. And just know that if you really want it, you could do it. Nobody else matters except Allah. Nobody else matters. We should not be pleasing anyone else except Allah. Here's a story to reflect on and figure out how you can use it in your life, inshallah. One day this expert was speaking to a group of business students, and to drive a point home, he used an illustration. And I'm sure for those students, they will never forget this point. And after I share it with you, I pray that you also will never forget it, inshallah. As this man stood in front of a group of high-powered overachievers, he said, okay, time for a quiz. Then he pulled out a 1-gallon, wide-mouth mason jar and he set it on the table in front of him. Then he poured a dozen fist rocks and carefully placed them, one at a time, into the jar. When the jar was filled to the top and no more rocks would fit inside it, he asked, is this jar full? Everyone in the class said, yes. Then he said, really? He reached under the table and pulled out a bucket of gravel. Then he dumped some gravel into and shook the jar, causing pieces of gravel to work themselves into the spaces between the big rocks. Then he smiled and asked the group once more, is this jar full? By this time, the class was on to him. Probably not, said one of the students. Good, he replied. And he reached under the table and brought out a bucket of sand. And he started dumping the sand inside there, and it filled up all the spaces that was left between the rock and the gravel. Once more, he asked the question, is the jar full? No, the class shouted. Once again, he said, good. Then he grabbed a pitcher of water and began to pour it until the jar was filled to the brim. Then he looked at the class and asked, what is the point of this illustration? One eager student raised his hand and said, the point is, no matter how full your schedule is, if you really try hard, you can always fit some more things into it. No, the speaker replied, that's not the point. The truth this illustration teaches us is that if you do not put the big rocks in first, you'll never get them in at all. So my question to you is, my dear sisters and brothers, is salah the big rocks in your jar? Is it? If not, then inshallah it should be. Then you should schedule salah in first, no matter where you are, what you're doing, and fill your schedule with the most important matters, inshallah. Remember to put the big rocks in first, or you'll never get them in at all. This is what I do with my life, mashallah. I said that no matter what happens, when that adhan goes off, I have to go praying, inshallah. So I ask my kids to make their wudu and get ready for salah as soon as possible. Then we try to pray in jama'ah, alhamdulillah. And we've made it a goal ourselves right now to actually go to the masjid as many times of the day as we can, inshallah. And so we try to go between 3 to 4 times, because usually my youngest is sleeping and he's a heavy sleeper for Fajr, and mashallah he's 5, so I'm trying to get him into the habit. But we definitely try to even get to go to the masjid together as often as we can, due to the fact that it's so important. But if not, definitely, before the adhan goes off, everyone has to have wudu and be ready, inshallah. And so I want you to think like that. I want you to think, what is my preparation? The preparation should not be at adhan time. It should be before adhan time, inshallah. We should all know what time is salah time. If it's 1:45, then go 1:40 and get prepared. Make your wudu, inshallah. And just get prepared. So, because we know that this is an appointment with our Rabb, with our Creator, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And maybe that this could be our last appointment. What if we do not have that extra 10 minutes? What if the angel of death is waiting for us 10 minutes after the adhan has gone off? And you also wait 10 minutes later. You just lost your last chance to ask Allah for forgiveness and to obey Him. What if you could have died in a state of salah?